Well, today is, we've set aside as a special day where we've worshiped the Lord and we'll continue to worship the Lord, and we're going to go into the Word right now. But there is a special group of people that we're looking at this morning or focusing on, and that are those that are entrepreneurs, self-employed folks, folks that run small businesses. And you'd be surprised the number that we have sitting in this room this morning. And you say, well, what's so spiritual about running a small business? Well, it may not be that the small business is necessarily spiritual in itself, but the reality of it is, especially in the part of the country that we live here in, there are so many people that their livelihoods depend on small business. And there's so many others of us that's sitting here in this room today that if it wasn't for small businesses, you know, it would make life a whole lot more difficult. And David Lester, young Dave, and myself have been talking about this for a couple of years, probably. And, since this has been the week that we're ending up right now as Small Business Week, National Small Business Week, we thought it would be great to have a service today where we're going to, at the end of service, we're going to pray for every, it doesn't matter if you're a hairstylist, if you're do rental property, we've got glass workers, we've got, probably carpenters in this room, we've got machinists in this room, whatever you do, we want to pray over you. Let me tell you a story. It's not a story. I wasn't allowed to use the word lie when I was a little boy. Mama would stick soap in my mouth if I, did your mama ever do that? Yeah, mama would stick soap in my mouth if I called somebody a liar. I was told if somebody told an untruth, it was a story. So sometimes when I say I'm going to tell a story, I think back to my mother. This is not a story. This is the truth. This is a truth. A number of years ago in our previous pastorate, we had a fellow in our church, in our congregation. If he was here, I would say this because he knew how he looked like Alice Cooper. Long black hair, and he was a phenomenal drummer. I called him my Alice Cooper drummer. Alice Cooper praise team member. But he ran a home improvement company. He specialized in vinyl siding and metal roofing. Still runs that company, by the way. He came and, he came to me and said, Pastor, I need you really to pray. He said, our company, we are suffering right now. He said, I'm going to have to lay my men off. He said, I don't have enough income to pay them. I don't have anything to do. I said, man, we're going to pray about it. We're just going to pray about it. And we anointed him and prayed over him and his company, of course. And as we prayed over him and his company, we, you know, nothing fell out of the ceiling or anything else, but he just walked out in faith. About 6 weeks later, he comes to myself and Miss Sarah, and he says, listen, y'all gotta quit praying. He said, now I can't find people to work. I need to hire people. I can't find people to work. He said, and I have such a backlog of work that I'll never ever get it done. Okay? So I believe the prayer over company and businesses work. I'll touch on something. I'm getting too far in my head of myself. But welcome to Voice of Praise Center. Welcome home to Voice of Praise Worship Center. If you didn't get a Connect card from Mr. Scott when you came in, it'll look something like this. Please get one, fill it out. We have a gift for you as you leave, before you leave. And on the back, there's a place for prayer requests as well. And we would like to get to know you. We would like to pray for you. And we will not sell your information, nor will we will call you and tell you that your Kia car warranty on your 1988 Kia is about to expire. So, or Geo. Let's do Geo. Geo's better than Kias, right, Nathan? You have your Bibles, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, begin reading at the 28th verse. Pretty familiar verse to most of us. And Jesus says, why do you worry about clothes? Makes you wonder if he was talking to ladies when he said that. I don't know, you know. Why do you worry about clothes? You know, I don't worry about clothes. My wife just gets out what I'm going to wear. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. God bless us through the power of your word. I want to preach to you this morning with the thought in mind of minding your own business. Minding your own business. Hello. Worry, it's not what you think, okay? Worry and stress are two of the most vicious culprits that are known to any one of us in this room. Worry, anxiety, we talked about this in our life group this morning. Worry, anxiety, and stress, vicious culprits known unto man. They will rob us of our peace. They seemingly sometimes they will rob us of our sanity. In fact, it has been said, by many people, one person in particular was Corey Ten Boom, said that worry does not take away tomorrow's trouble, it just robs us of today's peace. Another verse of scripture says, can a man add one cubit to his stature by worrying? If that was true, I would be 7 foot tall by now. If that were the case. Having been in business myself a number of years, I have an understanding of the pressures of entrepreneurship and being in business. When you're the person that owns the business, when you are in effect the business, everything falls on you. The weight of the world, the weight of carrying employees, if you carry employees, the weight of paying the bills, the weight of filing the taxes, the weight of paying the state, all that they have. I was in automotive end of the business, and I had to pay these tire disposal taxes and all these different things. And it was forever more so. It could be overwhelming. Everything falls on your shoulders. When you're in small business, quite frankly, my experience was it's either feast or famine. Okay? Either everything was going good, you had more work than you could do, the money was rolling in, everything was doing well, or it was either the famine. The famine was wondering how the bills are going to get paid. You have no work on the books. You have no job setting out in the, for me, it was no job setting out in the lot to bring inside the shop. You wonder how everything's going. You haven't sold a car in several weeks or something like that. And then the feasting turns into famine. And the reality is when you're that person, when the lights are turned off and everybody else goes home, then you wonder how everything's going to get paid and everything's going to come together. The truth of the matter is, speaking from my experience, was everybody else in your shop gets paid even when you don't. Can somebody say amen? I know there's a few of you that can. So we find that the pressures of being in business is very difficult. In the text that we just read from, we find Jesus addressing worry and stress. And of course, he's speaking directly to his disciples in their walk of faith. But the principles that he is speaking in this passage of scripture are easily applied to the everyday facets of life. Even if you're not in business for yourself, the worry, the stress, and the anxieties of life are constantly coming against us, but in particular are those of entrepreneurship this morning. The core of everything lies in verse 33 as we read the scripture. And that's why I want to dissect for you this morning is verse 33. And reading it again, it said, "But seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So today I want to attempt to break that down just a little bit further for everyone in the room, but especially for those that are minding your own business. The five ways to mind your own business, to deal with the things of life that we see encapsulated in that verse of scripture, is the first is to prioritize. And that's to seek first. And no matter whether you're in business in your life or if you're just working for the man, maybe you're even retired and you're living on your assets that you've accumulated over the year, and you've got this great retirement account. But the most important thing that we have to accomplish in life is to prioritize our life, and in doing so, we seek first the kingdom of God. You know, most of us don't do that, to be frank about it. Most of us try to figure it out on ourselves. I found out again, and I'll reiterate back to the time that I was in business for myself. I tried to fix things. I tried to fix things by going to the bank and using a credit line. Hello? Nothing sinful about that, but I found out that that wasn't always the good solution. I tried to fix things by firing and hiring people. I tried to fix things by working longer hours. And I found out all of those, you know, can have their advantages and work out someplace. But I discovered the most important thing that I could do was to seek first the kingdom of God. When I didn't have any work to do, rather than going out and getting on the phone and trying to call up work and drum up work constantly, I found myself a prayer closet. Literally, I found myself to pray and to seek the face of the Lord, because whatever we do in life, whether you're an entrepreneur or whether you're just whatever, you don't even work anymore, you're just on retirement, the most important thing that we can do in life, in no matter what we take on, is seek first the kingdom of God. Prioritize God first and foremost in our life above anything and everything else that we do. Jesus stresses prioritization. He puts His desires at the top. So are we stacking the priorities of life well, is my question. And where does the kingdom of God fit into our life? In the 37th Psalm, 23rd verse, it teaches us that our footsteps are ordered by God when we're submissive to Him. Now what that suggests to me, if we're not submitted to God, then He is not controlling our footsteps. But when we find ourselves submissive to the Lord, we're seeking first the kingdom of God, no matter what we are doing in life, then He will order our footsteps. Sometimes our footsteps are not going to look like we think they should be looking. I want you to know that. Sometimes the direction or the pathway that He takes us down may not make a lot of sense to us, but when we seek the kingdom of God, He orders our footsteps and He will take us in the right direction. And lastly, in the means of prioritization, and I'll go back to my fellow that we prayed for a number of years ago, and I know for a fact, because I was the pastor, that he had his priorities in the right order because he honored God with his finances. Now, I'm not standing up here and telling you that we need your finances because we're in financial trouble. Because as a church, we've been blessed. We've been blessed because there's people that are faithful here, okay? So we're not bankrupt. We're not about to go under. There's nothing like that about to happen. But there is something that occurs when we honor God with our finances and keeping with the Word of God. Someone once said, "I can't afford to tithe, preacher." Let me tell you something. You can't afford not to tithe, whether you're a business owner or just an average individual. Malachi 3 and verses 8 through 12, we see will come to fruition whenever we are faithful to honor God with our finances. For Malachi 3 and start at verse 8, the Bible says, "Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. You ask, but how are we robbing you? You're robbing me in tithes and offerings. You're under a curse, your whole nation, because you're robbing me. Bring in the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out much, so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. And I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your field will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. And then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. So why do we expect full-time blessings from part-time submission? God is calling us, in making our priorities, to submit to Him, not only in our life, but also in our substance, including our financial substance. You want to be blessed, you bless God and honor God in your finances. And you will see what He will do. The second thing, moving along as quickly as I can here. The second thing that we see that is incorporated is it's not just setting the priority to seek first, but it's what you're seeking. And the second thing is the integrity of the kingdom of God. Character is a person. Character is what a person presents himself as in front of other people. But I love what C.S. Lewis said about integrity. C.S. Lewis said, integrity is doing the right thing even when nobody is watching you. Business owner, individual, whatever you do, you just don't just display a character in front of the people that you're around, but I'm encouraging you, it will behoove you to display integrity when nobody's watching. When nobody's looking, when you think nobody sees what you're doing. We've been talking about Moses a little bit over in the life group in the last few weeks. And when Moses killed the Egyptian and buried him in the sand, Moses didn't think anybody saw him, but yet somebody did. But really the thing to keep in mind is, but yet God knew what Moses had done. God knows what we're doing when nobody's looking. I don't say that to put fear in you necessarily. I don't say that to make God sound like the big brother with a baseball bat ready to crack you in the head if you do something that's unethical or if you lack integrity. But what I'm saying is, if we want God to honor what we're putting our hands to, let's do what we do with integrity. Because through that integrity, God will bless. The kingdom of God speaks of God's righteousness. The kingdom of God speaks of God's justness. And our everyday living should exemplify a lifestyle of integrity. So those of you that are business folks this morning, the entrepreneurs in the room, we should seek to operate our businesses with integrity. We should seek to operate our business like, whether anybody's looking or not, I'm going to honor God. In a business world that consists of corporate alliances, Christian entrepreneurs should seek out partnerships that will complement their moral and spiritual convictions. I said, you don't need a swindler as your partner. I'm meddling a little bit, aren't I? You don't need the guy that's known as the community crook to be your partner in business. You need somebody that's going to honor God. And their honoring God is going to bless you. And honoring your employees, those that are around you, those that work for you, pay your bills. Pay your bills. If you can't pay your bill, go to your debtor and say, listen, I'm struggling right now. But use integrity in your business practices. Thirdly, we see included in that verse of Scripture the necessity of holiness. When we read that verse of Scripture and we think about it just one more time, it says, but seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness. Righteousness is the word for holiness. The word righteous has applied here is God speaking of His perfection or of the holiness of His nature. God is a perfect God with perfect holiness. You and I struggle with that, okay? You and I struggle to be that. We're only holy because He is holy. Okay? We're only made holy because He is holy. The righteousness of God is contrary to our flesh. If nobody's ever told you that, I have this morning. So in a society that is plagued is a mild word. In a society that is plagued with decreased morals and little regard for the things of God, it can be tempting for us to settle for less than His righteousness. But we can't afford to do that. We need to pursue the righteousness of God. God, I can't do this on my own. I'm not able to achieve this in myself. This is not in my nature. You know my nature is the fallen nature of a sin-cursed world. But God, I need Your righteousness to cover my life. I want to live in Your righteousness. I want to walk in Your righteousness. I want to pursue holiness. And when I'm talking about holiness, I'm not talking about whether you got a PhD. Y'all know what the PhD is? Pentecostal hairdo. Well, it's not about whether you got a Pentecostal hairdo or how long your dress is, where you wear short sleeves or long sleeves or any of that. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about pursuing the purity of spirit that God has and He displayed through Christ Jesus. And through Jesus, we can pursue that purity of spirit where we have a pureness of heart. And as we live our life and we even operate our businesses, God, we are pursuing to be more like You in all that we do. 1 Peter in chapter 1, 1 Peter calls for us to be holy as Christ is holy. And that is always reflected in our conduct. It's reflected in our decision making. Y'all remember those bracelets that came out a few years ago that had WWJD on them? Even some of you younger ones remember that, don't you? What would Jesus do? I wish I'd have thought about that first. I'd have made me millions of dollars, you know. I'd own my own cruise ship if I'd have thought about that, you know. What would Jesus do? But the reality is, you know what? That is a good thought process. What would Jesus do? If your business is in a bind, if your life is in turmoil, if whatever's going on in your life, put yourself in the place of the holiness of who God is. What would Jesus do? It's been said that we're called to preach gospel. Even sometimes we have to use words when necessary. But by keeping God priority in our lives, in our businesses, we are in fact displaying His integrity and His holiness. And we are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in the things that we do, even in business, as we cast our dependency upon Him. So, lastly, the ultimate question. So, what's the result? What do I get out of all of this? Okay? I'm not going to tell you that you're going to have a multi-million, billion-dollar business and Warren Buffett's going to come along and buy it up. I'm not going to tell you that. You know, you may never excel, you know, or exceed where you're at right now. I don't know. You may even end up, you know, I did it. Let me tell you my experience one more time, okay? I was in the paint and body business and I did used cars, okay? And I can remember very well, I used to do custom cars for people and I was working on a 1938 Chevrolet street rod, hot rod car. And I had the door off of that car and I had the door on the workbench and I was blocking that door with a big old block sander and I was working on it and I'd block a little bit and then blow it off and then you feel of it because you can see more with your fingers and body work than you can see with your eyes. Am I right, Brad? Right, Frank? And I'm blocking that door on that car and I listened to R.W. Shambach every day on the radio in my shop. You come in my shop, R.W. Shambach was on the radio. Some of y'all know who that is. You don't have any problems, you just need faith in God. That was Brother Shambach. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, did I call you to preach my gospel or did I call you to paint and body work? And I said, oh Lord, you know. Because, you see, when I stepped out to preach the gospel and to took my first pastorate, the company that I worked for, it had, they decided they were going to close the doors of our facility. I'd worked for them for 21 years. So I took a hobby business of mine, just the paint and body work, and I was just going to paint one or two cars a month just to subsidize, my ministry income, because whether you realize this or not, the average minister does not make real big salaries. That's the only ones you see on TV and stuff, okay? But I had let my business overwhelm what God was calling me to do. And God spoke to me while I was blocking the door on that 38 Chevrolet. He spoke to me and asked me that question. And I said, "You know, Lord." And it was shortly thereafter, everything fell in place. I told my guys that work for me, I said, "You guys are going to have to find me another job. I'm closing the shop. I'm selling the shop. I'm getting rid of I didn't really get rid of everything, okay? I still got six paint guns hanging up down in my building, okay? But the reality of it is, I had to prioritize God in my life and put Him where He wanted to be. And I'll be frank with you. I have not missed a beat in doing so. Now, I miss going to the, after all of these years, and that's been 18 years ago, after all these years, I miss not having a dealer tag. Man, I'd go to the sale, I'd have me a convertible in the summer, and I'd have me a truck in the winter. There's been times I've sold everything I had, and I had to go borrow a vehicle to drive because I didn't have, until I could get to the auction to buy me a car. I miss some of that, okay? I miss painting something every once in a while. That's been a lot of years. Probably couldn't do it anymore. I don't know. But I do miss it. But there's one thing that I know. Because I made a decision to set the priorities that God's called me to right in my life, I have been blessed well beyond measure than I ever would have had if I had continued to operate in my business and my shop. Now, I'm not saying that everybody in here needs to go and sell out your business and start preaching. You need to follow God's what I'm saying to you. You need to set your priorities in your life and allow God to be your top priority and lead you in everything you get. So what do you get out of all this? Well, if you go back and you read that verse of scripture again, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness," and then it says, "All these things will be added to you as well." Wow. All these things are going to be added to you as well. We all have a thought process to think about. Yeah, but I got to take care of this. I'm numero uno, you know. I got to take care of some things. But the answer to the question of what you get out of this all goes back to the first part of this whole equation is seeking the kingdom of God. Because what you get out of it is putting yourself in the will of God and walking in the will of God, and then God's going to bless all the other things and He's going to add everything to it that you need. The same way in your personal life, if you're here and you say, "Well, I'm not a business owner, this doesn't apply to me," sure it does. Because if you prioritize God in your life, then the other things in your life that you're in need of, if you set Him as your priority, then all the other things are going to fall in place. Here's the deal though. A lot of the things that you think that you need in life, you probably don't really need once you set God in priority of your life. You say, "There's a lot of things I think I need, but in reality, they're things I want." And wants and needs are miles apart most of the time. So as we adjust our lives, we set our spiritual lives in order, we seek the kingdom of God, we honor God with integrity, we honor God with observing His holiness, and we honor God with worshiping with all of our substance, including our finances and our possessions. Listen, as we honor God and bless Him and put Him, everything is first in our life, guess what? He says, then all the other things are going to be added to you. Wow. How cool is that? So what we have here is a shifting of responsibility. Proper prioritization results in the shifting of responsibility. I had to write this down because it was too good. I never remember it like I thought about it. Proper prioritization results in the shifting of responsibility. For when you give Jesus priority, He's saying all these things will be given to you. Listen to this. None of us in this room have the ability to give ourselves something that we already have. Boy, that's profound, isn't it? None of us in this room have the ability to give ourselves or to get something that we've already got. You see, the things that we don't have, it's the things that we're lacking in life, it's the things that are missing, those are the things that we're pursuing. God said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, integrity, holiness, honoring God. He said, then all of these other things that you think you're in need of, they'll be added to you. So when we prioritize Jesus at the top, what happens is we have shifted responsibility. When I tried to fix my business, when I tried to fix things in my business on my own, I made a trip to the bank and done this and that and the other, and I didn't seek God. And I'm just being very transparent about this with you. I've never even really shared this or spoke about it before. But I found out it was more effective for me to pray. I hate people had to have wrecks, but it was more effective for me to have to pray people into my shop than it was for me to go to the bank and try to borrow enough money to make it another month. So as we prioritize God and things in our life, and in particular this morning we're talking about our businesses, we find that God is working and God is ministering. And when we put Him at the top, then the responsibility shifted to Him. Because what this verse of Scripture says is, seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, then. You see, that when you see then is, if you, in essence, is saying you have just shifted the responsibility. Because God says, then responsibility has become mine. He said, then the responsibility becomes mine. If, as long as you're doing it on your own, God's going to let you do it. I had to learn that as a pastor. You know, being a church is not necessarily a business, but it is sort of, almost is somewhat like, you know, when I figured out this is not my church to pastor. If this is going to be my church, and I don't like it when people come up and says, how's your church doing? I say, I don't have a church. Because if it's my church, God's going to let me take care of it. But when it's His church, He'll take care of it. This is more than I can do, okay? I had to learn that. But when it's God, so we shift that responsibility. We say, God, this is your business. It's not mine. God, this is my, God, this situation, whatever it is in your life, God, this is your situation. It's not mine. When we shift that responsibility, then God takes care of it and God ministers. So here's the conclusion of the matter. It's all about setting priorities, setting our priorities in proper spiritual order. In other words, it comes down to that we have to be minding our own business. I can't straighten you out. I used to think that was a pastor's job. And I tried to screw the heads off of a few people and fix them, but that didn't work. No, I really didn't do that. But I've learned I can't fix you. You can't fix me either. But the person that you can affect is you. Your own self. So as we adjust our lives, we reevaluate and we reset our priorities. I think it was Jerry Falwell that used to have those little lapel pins that said, Jesus first. Put Jesus first in all that you do in your life and in your business, in your career, whatever you do. I want you to bow your heads with me just a moment, please. If you're in this room and you've never been saved, or if you've drifted far away from the Lord and you need to come back home, yes, you need to readjust your priorities. Without embarrassing you at all, would you just slip up your hand and say, Pastor, I need prayer. I need salvation. I need to rededicate my life. Is there one person in this room today? one person at all in the room. I assume from that everybody's well, everybody's good with where you're walking spiritually. I hope and I pray you are. I pray Jesus is your Lord and your Savior. Now I want you to look this way right now. I want you, if you're in this room, if you own a business, if you operate some kind of business, it can be full-time, it can be part-time, but if you operate some type of business, you could mow lawns, you could do hair, you could be a landlord, you could be a machinist, you could be a carpenter, you could be an auto mechanic, but if you run your own business, I want you to come down here and meet me. We're going to pray for you, and then we've got a special gift to put in your hand. Now, I want us, everybody that can and will, come on up here. Now, I want everybody that can and will, I want you to come and stand behind it. I want you to look at the number of people, and all of these people we claim as home folks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 people. That's 16 people out of our congregation. That's some 10% of our congregation that are affected by entrepreneurship, self-business. This is amazing. And I believe it's important that we bless their lives and all that they do. So I want you to join with me as we move across and we're going to pray for them. And Sarah's going to give every single one of you all, every single one of y'all, and I give credit where credit is due. Dave Lester helped me with this. We were just brainstorming what book to give. And this is Dave Ramsey's Entre Leadership. Dave Ramsey's a Christian businessman. He's going to bless you, okay? This is going to bless you. We don't give you one. We may run short. We will order more if we run short. Are you all two businesses? So you all are together, okay? All right. And carpentry, handyman. Building decks, construction. Okay. All right, we're just believing that God is just going to minister and work and bless your business, okay? Father, as we come to you, Lord, we just believe that today that you are ministering and working and meeting the needs of this business, God. Lord, today, Lord, you are going to... God, you're going to work and make a way, Lord, for this business to prosper to the limit.